Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. It's a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up in a new manner, we call that Armadoxy, and we invite you to take a look with us. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Initiatives mission and brought to you by epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, I'm so glad you are with us today, whether you're a new Next Stepper or you've been running with us for a while. Just great to have you on board today. Today is Hamparsum. It is Ascension Day, 40 days exactly after Easter. Yes, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, yes, 40 days exactly to the date. June 2nd this year, 2011, happens to be the date of Hamparsum. It is a fixed date according to Easter, but the date is a changeable date according to the real calendar. 40 days after Easter, but since Easter is not a fixed date celebration, in other words, like Christmas, you know, whether it's December 25th, January 6th, it's a fixed date. But Easter is calculated on the seasons, on the moon risings, and the Passover for some people, non-Passover for others. Because of that fluctuation, so today, Hamparsum also changes. It's not on June 2nd every year, but it is definitely 40 days after Easter, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So happy Hamparsum today. That's right, Askisher Hamparsum. Today is Hamparsum. Today is Ascension Day. He's got it right. And you know, I gotta tell you, if you were a Musalertsi, you would just fit into that perfectly. That is their song, Hele Hele. And that actually is Richard Hagopian. And I gotta tell you honestly, I sometimes feel really bad. I feel like I'm not being faithful to my principles because he is really one of my favorite musicians. That's the first time you've heard one of his songs on my podcast. I ran into him last week at our pilgrimage to Yetem. He sings in the choir over there. He was singing in the choir that day. Had a chance to talk with him very briefly, but just an incredible musician, a virtuoso on the oud, and his music, his voice, his talent has inspired me so much because he's really one of those few musicians that kind of makes the connection with pre-genocide times. You know, it's what you got really right now in most modern Armenian music is basically the last 50 years, the last 20, 30 years, and a lot of variations, a lot of European influences in there. But when you hear Richard, Richard Hagopian, you know what, I will definitely put a link on our show notes so you could connect up with some of his music. Great, great stuff. And that song, Hele Hele, and it is a celebration of the Ascension Feast. And actually, like I said, the Musalertsis have actually taken this and really brought it down to an art form. If you've ever been in one of their dance lines, which I'm very proud to say that I've had a chance to be in one of those with a very dear gentleman, just a dear gentleman. He was a Musalertsi, a fighter to the end. Haigaz was his name. And I was able to be in a Hele Hele line and with the Musalertsi. Just incredible. Because it's not just the feet action. It's your whole body. It's your whole feeling. It's very, very soul-y, you know. And so anyway, that is Hele Hele. But of course, connected with Hamparsum, but also with the Ascension Feast, probably a little bit more known, a little bit more traditional, and should we say more popular, is the tune Hamparsum Yaila, which comes to us from the Anish opera. Hump Hamparzum Yaila. Oh, I love that. You know, there is two places that I would wish I could be. One of them is, if you've ever seen the 1933 King Kong movie, that jungle scene. I would have done anything to be one of those guys in that jungle scene. And the other one is probably Anushapra. I would do anything to be in that chorus. Isn't that beautiful? You know what I mean? I'd do anything to be in that chorus. Anyway, that is from the Anushapra. Of course, the music is Spenderian, and the words are from Hovhannes Tumanyan, just an incredible Armenian poet, writer, beginning of the 20th century, who wrote a lot about Armenian superstition. Oh, end of 19th century, beginning of 20th century, pre-genocide, and just did a lot of writing to dispel some of the myths and some of the superstitions that Armenians had. And it revolves around this feast, which I don't know how much we should say about stuff like this, but there are Armenian churches, in fact, some very notable ones that continue to do this, what they call Vijag. It has gotten to be the point of Hamparzum. The Vijag is picking your fortune. And it goes with this Hamparzum Yaila, and one of the beautiful things that Hovhannes Tumanyan points us to is Anush is a poem, a tragedy. And he points that the reason for this tragedy is because they believed in these superstitions, because they believed in the fortunes that they would get. And in that particular song that you heard a minute ago, you know, the women are gathering and Hamparzum Yaila, they're picking the fortunes, and of course it leads to this tragic situation between Anush's brother and Anush's boyfriend, lover, who end up fighting, and then Anush, of course, becomes the suicide note at the end of the thing. Oh, this is awful. Where are we going with this? I know where we're going. Same place that Hovhannes Tumanyan wanted us to go. That there is really a fine line between religion and superstition. You better be sure of what you're believing. And I think that this is something that we try to do in the next step, is kind of give you a logical, a fresh approach to what the faith is all about. We're going to be talking about Hamparzum, about ascension today. But let's take a look at it in a clear way, okay? Let's take a look at it in the way that Christ is presenting it to us. We're going to be looking right out of Matthew chapter 28. Now, this music, of course, goes with the culture, goes with the excitement of the day, and that is beautiful. I don't want to discount that. That music is part of the bones and the blood, but there is a message there. There is a message that you can't live on these superstitions and these ancient superstitions. I mean, just last week I was thinking about it. You know how many different... we were going to try to actually put together a movie, but do you know how many different superstitions that the church still continues to pass on to people by virtue of just giving them away without giving an explanation? Like, for instance, the tradition of lighting a candle. Once you understand the tradition, once you have an explanation of why that candle is being lit, you understand that, okay, Christ is the light of the world. And that light shines in the darkness. So by looking at the symbol, you understand that message of the divine light. It's not to say that that candle in itself has any magical power. It's not to say that that candle in itself can do anything. But the symbol is, what's behind that symbol can do anything. In other words, the power of God. You see, and we have so many of these superstitions that come to us. Like I spoke about it a few months ago, where they had the cracker bread with salt. And supposedly, if you eat this and you see a dream of the guy you see in your dream or the girl you see in your dream will be your fiancé, and you could pretty much rest assured that you will have a giant explosive wedding party with that person. Or if you find that, you know, the basil on Holy Cross Day, by the way, the cracker is on Diyarın Tarac, on Groundhog's Day. And then we have the tradition of blessing water. I mean, what are all these traditions? They're to point us to the spirit. spirituality to the message that is behind us. So I want you to just think about that for a moment. My voice is going out. I got to tell you that too. I was at the diocese this morning. I did 4 broadcasts in a row. You'll see them on Diocesan TV and, of course, up on their website. But I'm going to be out for a few weeks, and I needed to do them all in advance. So my voice is going. So now this podcast is really like the 5th. So I'm going to take a break now while we listen to the song of the day. I will be able to grab some water and correct my voice. Anyway, we are talking about Hampartsum, about ascension. We're going to be looking into that. We have Ani with her bubbles, and we're going to be, well, you're going to enjoy it. We have a great podcast for you, but we are going to kick it off with the song of the day, and I just heard a beautiful one this week that I have to share with you, and I know you're going to love it. This is our friend Shiraz playing Mite. What did I tell you? Wasn't that beautiful? Oh, I love it because there are so many different tones and so many different melodies that are going on in there. And his voice, of course, is so soothing and tranquil. You know, we've had several occasions to enjoy Shiraz's music, his lovely voice. Those of you who followed our Questions in Faith series, you know that he's been even on those series teaching us. Yes, nowhere near as good as he sings, but he tries to teach us how to sing. And you can check those out on those archives of those Questions in Faith series. But we will definitely put a link on our show notes so you could check out Shiraz as well as all of his music, some of his other videos. Great stuff. This particular song is called Mite, and it is composed and arranged by Berge Garibekyan, and the lyrics were written by Satenik Torosyan. Do check them out. The artist, Shiraz. Take a trip with me back to the resurrection day. You're one of Jesus' followers, and you find out that he has resurrected. You haven't seen him. You haven't seen him yet, but you've heard from a few of his friends, you've heard from some of your other brothers that they've seen him, they've spotted him, that he is alive, against all odds, against such a horrible, horrendous death up on a cross. Now you're hearing that he's alive. What goes on in your mind? Of course, it's filled with doubt. Until you see him, until you come to face and you're changed forever because you've been in the presence of the resurrected Lord. 40 days later, after the resurrection, the ascension takes place. And we read about it in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It is a very powerful message for a few reasons. Powerful in the sense that it sets up Jesus as Lord and God, creator of the universe. It gives the message of hope to go out and to teach. And finally, it gives the message of solace. It gives a message that, don't worry, I am with you until the end of the ages. Let's review that real quickly. Let's read that and go from there. So this comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 and on. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him." But listen to this. It says, "But some doubted." Isn't that interesting? That after all of that, after living with him, after experiencing all the miracles, after experiencing him resurrect Lazarus or the young girl at the bedside, after seeing him go through all that torture and crucifixion, and yet he is alive and he meets them and they're in his company in the upper chamber. He talks to them. He gives them the palms and he says, "Look, I'm right here. Touch me. Feel me. I'm still alive." After all that, what does it say? It says, "But some doubted." I think there's an important reason why those words are there. I think it's a signal to all of us that despite what happens, that doubt is very natural. That doubt is very real. As we were saying a few minutes ago, I think people take it in the superstitious way, faith, and therefore that doubt is very real. And what we're going to see right now is an opportunity to move beyond superstition. Okay, and you got to admit, when you're talking about raising from the dead, you're in that field, you're in that area of superstition. You say, well, it's against nature, it's against possibility. And so let's continue over here. It says, "Some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember that I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Now, in these words, Jesus sets himself up. When he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," what are we talking about? We're talking about creation. We're talking about the universe, aren't we? In other words, we are in the presence of He who is without beginning. We are in the presence of the I Am. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore now go and make disciples of all nations. So as the Creator, He's now instructing us to go. And He instructs, yes, the 11 disciples who become apostles at this point, right? The word apostolos, from the Greek word, it means to send. So at the beginning of Christ's ministry, Jesus says, come to me, come. And we see that on different occasions, different apostles came in varying ways. The most noted of which was St. Peter, right? Peter said, no, I'm not going with you. What are you talking about? I'm a fisherman. I'm not going to follow some religious fanatic and his group. I'm a fisherman. I'm a real man. And Jesus turns to him and says, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And Peter follows Christ and becomes one of the leaders of the early Christian church. And so to this message of coming and following me, now Jesus is responding by saying, go. And I think as much as it is to the apostles, it also is a message that is very clear to us. It is not enough to just absorb and take, but at some point you need to put that faith into action. And it's a very basic way of putting it into action. He spells it out over here. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So here's the instruction. If you're going to go, if you're going to take the knowledge that I gave you, there are specifics to it. It means go and get other people to follow what I've told you. Now listen, it's very simple here. It's very, very simple. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. How? Baptizing them. You need to baptize them and then teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Well, what did He command us? He commanded us to love. He commanded us to have compassion. He commanded us to put away our materialistic side and put away the ego and to pick up the cross and follow Him. He gave us the instruction to love, and love to the point that He even became the example of that love by putting His hands out, by saying that I express my love here on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice, so you too must be willing to sacrifice. Here is the example. Now here is how you love. And so along with making disciples, the instruction is baptize them and then teach them. Sometimes we get all hung up about where's the teaching, where's the baptism. Well, they're both necessary ingredients. They're both very necessary ingredients. It's not enough to be baptized. It is not enough to just learn, but they come together. In fact, to go a little bit further, you know, some people get really hung up about the Great Commission itself. This is called the Great Commission. Now, who is it addressed to? Now, the Orthodox will argue that, okay, well, it's addressed to the 11 disciples who now become apostles. And there begins the apostolic authority, okay? And others will say, well, this is a commission to everyone, to one and all. And really, what we need to do is, if Holy Scripture is going to have meaning in our lives, is we need to do away with these childish and petty disputes and understand that, yes, in the apostolic Orthodox tradition, it is being commanded to the 11 disciples. I mean, there's no question about it. It says it right there. And the 11 disciples, there's no question about it. And they were the ones who then went on and through apostolic succession gave that authority to the next generations, and then it goes all the way down to the current Catholicos, bishop and priests who have that authority vested in them by the apostles, right? Now, there's no dispute about that. That's there. I'm with you on that apostolic thing. But do you mean to say that there's nothing that we can get out of it today as just a reader, as just somebody who is hearing? Of course there is. It is to understand that Christ is the fulfillment of the Law and the Prophets, that Christ is the author of life, that Christ is the creator of this universe. All authority in heaven and on earth. Not partial, not a little bit, not even a lot. All authority has been given to me. Okay, so we're looking at the completeness. Complete authority has been given. So he has the right, the authority to speak. And then what does he say? He says to each of us, despite your difficulties, even if you're going to doubt, remember that you need to get this message out. And that message is one that we've summarized so beautifully. I mean, you can say get the message out by taking out Bibles and everything, but let's bring it down to a very few words, concepts that we all can agree upon. Faith, hope, and love. St. Paul brings it down to that, right? Doesn't he say it in that beautiful passage that he writes about love? He says, of these three, faith, hope, and love. Why does he say of these three? Because it comes down to that. It comes down to those three. In all of Jesus' teaching, it comes down to this compassion, about this love, about this faith, about having hope, believing in tomorrow. It's all connected. And so, when you bring it down to this faith, hope, and love, can we get that across? It's our responsibility. Yes, as a church, it is the commission of the church to get that message out there. But it is also our duty to accept that as a challenge to each of us. To become real Christians, not by baptism alone, but by becoming the ambassadors of Christ on earth. Remember that passage when Jesus' mother and brothers come to the door. And the disciples say, your mother and brothers are at the door. And I know everybody gets all hung up about, well, what do you mean? Does he have brothers? Does he have, you know, what happened to his mother? Hey, come on, mellow out. Let's say some family came to the door, okay? Because see, when you start discussing things like that, you're taken away from the main story of what this is about. The answer is Jesus turns to them and he says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? They who hear the word of God and do it. You see, to be a part of Christ's family, you've heard it already. You've gotten the invitation to come. You've been listening. You've been reading. You know the message. It is of faith, hope, and love. Now, do it. Get out there and work it. And get that message out. I think it was Mother Teresa who said it so beautifully. She said, I'm always preaching the gospel. She says, the Christian always has to preach the gospel. Says, and whenever necessary, use words. Whenever necessary, use words. How do I check that out? Was that a Mother Teresa quote? It sure sounds like her, doesn't it? Whenever necessary, use words. In other words, live it out. Live the expression of Christianity. Make that a part of your life. And that's what Ascension Day is all about. Jesus ascends to heaven on the 40th day after Easter. He leaves this worldly existence. And he leaves us with a comforter. Next week, of course, is Pentecost. We'll be talking about that. The comforter comes. The Holy Spirit comes. But he does not leave us alone. He gives us his unfailing words, which says, I am with you until the close, the end of the ages, forever. Now you think about the strength that you have there, the power that he is giving you there. The Creator is with you till the end of the ages. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to abandon you. He's with you. And so wherever you look, whatever you do, you know that he's with you. Whichever direction you look in, here's the important one, on this Ascension Day, as all eyes are up, looking to heaven as Christ ascends, goes up to heaven, wherever you look, the presence of God is there. And most importantly, within our hearts. Wasn't that St. Nectarios who said, seek God first, not outside of your heart, but within it? Yes, in Scripture we read, that is the purest of all churches. That is God's home, is the pure heart. This is where he resides. And so God is all around. And God is inside as well as outside of you. God is the presence that we feel when we touch one another, when we hug one another, when we kiss one another, when we cry with one another and laugh with one another, when we embrace one another, when we help one another. This is why the evangelist says, God is love. Well, that love has a meaning. It has to be expressed. It's not just something you read about. You can't just say, well, it's love. You have to express it. And you express it by doing. The Great Commission is all about this. You have heard, you have experienced, now therefore go. Go and make the disciples, be baptized, and learn what I have taught you. And remember that I am with you until the close of the ages. Somebody who gives you that kind of guarantee is with you, is the reason why you don't need to fear anymore. All the difficulties, remember how the passage began? Some of them doubted. But there's no more room for doubt, because now you know the Creator is with you. Think of all the difficulties, all the challenges that you have in life, whether they're financial, whether they're health-related, whether they're relationships. God is with you. And that is a power. That is a power like nothing else. It's the power from within. It's the power from without. It's the one that keeps us in line with our faith to dare to call ourselves the children of God. We have Ani with her bubbles right now. It's a little spiritual bubble to take us away. Here's Ani with today's installment.
Today's spiritual bubble is about the price of children. I have repeatedly seen the breakdown of the cost of raising a child, but this is the first time I have seen the rewards listed this way. It's nice. The government recently calculated the cost of raising a child from birth to 18 and came up with $160,140 for a middle-income family. Talk about sticker shock. That doesn't even begin to touch college tuition. But $160,140 isn't so bad if you break it down. It translates into $8,896.66 a year, or $741.30 a month, or $171.08 a week. That's only $24.24 a day. That's just over a dollar an hour. Still, you might think the best financial advice is don't have children if you want to be rich. But actually, it's just the opposite. What do you get for your $160,140? Well, you get naming rights, first, middle, and last. You get glimpses of God every day. Giggles under the covers at night. More love than your heart can hold. Butterfly kisses and Velcro hugs. You get endless wonder over rocks, ants, clouds, and warm cookies. A hand to hold, usually covered in jelly or chocolate. You get a partner for blowing bubbles, for flying kites, and someone to laugh yourself silly with, no matter what the boss said or how your stocks performed that day. For $160,140, you never have to grow up. You get to finger paint, carve pumpkins, play hide and seek, catch lightning bugs, and never stop believing in Santa Claus. You have an excuse to keep reading The Adventures of Piglet and Pooh, watch Saturday morning cartoons, go see Disney movies, and wish on stars. You get to frame rainbows, hearts, and flowers under refrigerator magnets, and collect spray-painted noodle wreaths for Christmas, hand prints set in clay for Mother's Day, and cards with backwards letters for Father's Day. For $160,140, there is no greater bang for your buck. You get to be a hero just for retrieving a frisbee off the garage roof or taking the training wheels off the bike. If you remove a splinter, fill a wading pool, or coax a wad of gum out of bangs, and coach a baseball team that never wins but always gets treated to ice cream regardless. You get a front row seat to history to witness the first step, the first word, the first bra, the first date, and the first time behind the wheel. You get to be immortal. You get another branch added to your family tree, and if you're lucky, a long list of limbs in your obituary called grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You get an education in psychology, nursing, criminal justice, communications, and human sexuality that no college can match. In the eyes of a child, you rank right up there under God. You have all the power to heal a boo-boo, scare away the monsters under the bed, patch a broken heart, police a slumber party, ground them forever, and love them without limits. So one day they will like you. Love without counting the cost. That's quite the deal for the price. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, honey. As usual, just beautiful. That was a tough one for me. I know. Some personal stuff this week. It has been a really rough week. And that particular bubble, took my mind away to too many places. Thank you, though, for sharing that. I wonder if Bill Cosby's heard this one. This is important. Every time he complains about getting rid of his kids from his house, let him remember what joy they do bring. And don't think I didn't catch that part about the bubbles, too. About having your kid blow the bubbles. I guess with Ani, it's kind of different, right? I'm her kid. She gives me these bubbles for birthdays and different celebrations, and I get to blow them, and she watches as I blow them. Last time, she gave me this really cool wand. It's a really long one. It makes giant bubbles. That was a lot of fun, too. Anyway, Ani Spiritual Bubbles, that's today's installment. It's called The Price of a Child. And while we're taking a break right now, let's switch over to Susie. Let her make her announcement. Do you know that we are completing our third year? Our third year of podcasting, and we have been, let me let her tell you.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Hard to believe it's been 3 years. Yes, every week. We have been hitting it every week, 3 years. We're going to be finishing off 3 years next week, and then right after that, we're looking forward to starting off the fourth year with you. God willing, it'll be even better. We'll be broadcasting even to a wider audience, because every week it just grows and grows, and I can't thank you enough for allowing us into your homes, into your cars, into your earbuds, into the very personal canals of the ear, where you get to hear us on MP3 players, on CDs, and there's an assortment of ways, and I guess on the internet too, on computers. I should say on computers as well. I just spoke to a lady the other day who gets an email once a week with the podcast in it. And actually, I didn't even know about it. It was one of the marvels of technology, I guess. I guess I knew about it somewhere along the way, but she says she gets an email once a week, and I'm in there. And so I guess there is a way of getting this on email. Well, of course, yeah, I guess on Outlook, too. We can set up as an RSS feed. No, excuse me. Susie's telling me that, no, you can sign up for emails. Yes. Fantastic. I mean, I can't believe all the different places that we're at. Really, it is a miracle. When we talk about the electronic evangelism, apostolic evangelism, I mean, you really want to bring the message of the apostles. I mean, we talked about this. Go out there and preach to all nations. Go out there and do it. I mean, what better way than to preach and to get the message out to all nations? And to think you're part of it. And I want you to be a part of it. This is not one man's doing. It is not definitely a small little effort. It's an effort that comes about because of the love that you have in your heart for this ministry, because of your support, your continued prayers. And we need those prayers to continue. You know, it's a small little thing that I ask, but it's so necessary. It sounds small. Let me say it that way. But you know what? When you pray, just remember Apostle. Remember us. Remember me, please. I mean, remember each of us, because we need the strength. We need to know that, and we do feel it. When you pray, we feel connected with you. And that's an important part of this ministry. Please, don't be without us in your prayers as we pray for you. Every one of you who writes to me, every one of you who shares your stories with me, trust me, when I celebrate the Divine Liturgy on Sunday mornings, I have an opportunity to remember in my prayers those people who have requested prayers. I remember you by name. And that is very, very powerful when you think about in the presence of Jesus Christ, for the Holy Eucharist is there. In the presence of Christ, you are being remembered by name. And I ask you the same, because there is a power in that. There is a power that unites us, that brings us together as the Christian family. And this is Apostle.net. It is a different type of family. I don't know if you've caught my diocesan TV shows, but once a week I do a TV show for the diocese. And at the end, I always insist that people who follow it go to the diocesan website and find a parish, because you need to put your faith into action. And along with that, I said, if you want to get in touch with us, I mean, if you want this to be your virtual parish, please do that. Go to epostle.net, connect with us, and you'll see. You'll see God touches you in very special ways when you want to do His work. And I can't put anything else on this. I really believe that this is God's work, that we are at a very special time in our lives when we have the ability to reach out throughout the world through this medium. So thank you for being on the road with us, and we're looking forward to finishing off our third year next week and then starting off our fourth. Vijak, vijak odurnu, chichak ushare, shabiku voske gojang. Vijak, vijak odurnu, chichak ushare, shabiku voske gojang. Vijak, yaga avarlan tarlan, vijak, yaga avarji apol. And we're back to the Vijag, huh? There's no escape the fortune telling. Anyway, I did want to end today's podcast with a little bit of reflection about what's been going on this past few weeks. As you remember, it was a couple weeks ago, May 21st, that some people had predicted as the end of the world. And this preacher whose claim to fame was that he had read the Bible and had kind of deciphered an end code, an end thing, had come up with the end of the world date. Always amazes me. What are you going to say to God? You're going to say, oh, you blew it. You didn't call the end time right. I've got the calculation. You don't. I mean, God says it so clearly. He says that date no one knows. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough problems of its own. Focus. Emphasize today in your lives. Set your mind on God's kingdom today, and everything else will follow exactly. And I just heard that during this week, somebody's offered this preacher his own show, and they're trying to, you know, give him a platform to speak. And of course, in doing so, what are they doing? They're just basically putting into that the Christians into that camp. Into that camp of numbskull, stupid, backward people. Yes, exactly. Everything that we say that the next step prevents, they're trying to bring it back down to that. That basically, if you're a Christian, you're in that camp. You're in that camp of these people that are just out of their minds. Because all they care about is getting to heaven and looking down on you and saying, too bad you're not here, but we are having such a great time in heaven. I mean, you got to really think about these people. You got to think about what the message is that they're getting out to people. And in so doing, you've got to take the offensive at this time, not the defensive. Not to stand there and say, well, we're not like them, but take the offensive and say that, let me show you what a Christian is. A Christian is one that loves. A Christian is one that has compassion. You see, people aren't interested in this good message. In fact, the proof is that they don't show it. You don't hear about it, right? It's always this negative image of what Christians are. They don't tell you that there's a group of people that are driven by the gospel message, namely world vision, that are feeding the hungry, that are taking care of orphans in all kinds of countries that basically rest of humanity has forgotten about, right? They don't focus on world vision, right? Do they give you prime time news coverage? They don't focus on In His Shoes ministry that's saying, here's a group of genocide survivors that have been, that are being driven by the gospel message of Jesus Christ to go out and help other genocide survivors and victims. They don't turn to you and say that, hey, look, there are people that are out on the front line talking about justice, because they realize that God has given them that power, that God has demanded that we seek relief and help the poor. They're not talking about those Christians that are up on those front lines and seeking justice and fighting the daily fights. You see, all they're interested in doing, and I'm using that term broadly, they, and I don't want you, don't go there. Don't start doing this thing. Oh, the guy's being alarmist and he's setting it up. No. Take a look around you. It's a reality. Nobody's writing or talking about the good that Christians do. Do you realize all the educational institutes, all the different places? Just think of the Loyolas that are out there, all the education that the Jesuits have given to people, the hospitals that are built. People, you don't think about it, but the hospital name is Presbyterian. The hospital name is Good Samaritan. Well, where are these names coming from? United Methodist Hospital. These are being driven by Christians. And you've got to think about it, that the message of Christ is a positive message. The message of Christ is not all doom. And so that's why I'm saying, take the offensive in your life. Be proud that you're a Christian. Not because you're sitting around and worrying about the day when you're going to be transported to heaven and your clothes are going to stay behind. And from heaven, you can look down with your binoculars and see all of your friends, or your so-called friends, and now they're struggling in a place called hell, while you've just got your feet up and just drinking virgin martinis up in the clouds. Come on. This is the type of superstition we've got to be done with. I mean, what were we talking about a few minutes ago when we listened to Anush Opera about Hovhannes Tumanyan trying to get us that? I mean, that's over 100 years old, 150 years ago. He's talking about these superstitions that are driving us to death. Well, it's no different now. I mean, what is this end of world theology but some kind of superstition? Christ said, I came to give you life and give it abundantly. For all the energy they're spending on seeing a world that's destroyed and saving themselves, imagine if that energy was being spent on the good, on helping people, on feeding people. Let's talk about global warming. I mean, this is a Christian message too. The green earth. I mean, did you see the disasters that just here in the United States? It was in Joplin last week, just last night in Springfield, Massachusetts, tornadoes. Unheard of events. But the climate is changing. The polar ice caps are melting. It's an environment that's been given to us and we've abused it rather than use it. And so there's so much to talk about as Christians and to do as Christians. And so today's call, and the way I want to end today's podcast, is a call to take the offensive, to really showcase what a Christian is by doing the good, by reaching out to people, by getting yourself involved in some kind of community project that brings glory to God. You remember that passage that comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew? It's from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus turns and he says, you are the light of the world. And you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Don't put it under a bushel basket. Don't put it under the table so that it doesn't do any good. No, if you have the light, you put it on a light stand, on a lampstand, and place it on top of the table so that everyone who sees it can be in light. And just think about that image for a moment. What happens? They look, they're in darkness, they see the light, and they give glory, they give thanks to your God in heaven. I mean, this is what it's about. It's not about me saving myself. It's about finding that peace, finding that love that we know God wants us to find. He says over and over and over throughout the scriptures, the way you come to God is by loving one another. Love your brothers. Love your enemies, he says, and pray for those who persecute you. Is there anything greater than this? Do you want a positive message? There's your message for peace. As we're escalating our weapons and our wars, and we've got nuclear weapons to contend with, and we've got wars in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and we're looking around us here and there, look what Jesus says. He says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Can we talk about that? As Christians, why aren't we talking about that? In fact, as Christians, why isn't the world looking at these messages, which people like Martin Luther King used to the advantage of civil rights? That people like Gandhi, who was not even a Christian, used, yes, the message of Jesus Christ, to use nonviolent resistance to change the mindset of a people and bring about the overthrow of governments. Incredible stuff. It is incredible stuff, and it's being offered to you. I ask you, take the offensive. Be a Christian in all that you do. I'm looking forward to being with you again next week when we will continue this kind of talk and this kind of, if you enjoy it, yeah, this is exciting, isn't it? Hey, listen, it is exciting for us too. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please check us out on the web. We are at inhisshoes.org. And of course, you can find this podcast as well as every other podcast that has come from the beginning of time. Yes, at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism with an E, because we are in an electronic and expanding universe. For the wonderful crew who brought today's show and made it possible, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.